Worries in the U.S. about a job shortage, worries around the world about a wheat shortage.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a global perspective on the news in just a moment. But first, we get the government's big employment report for July this morning. And there will probably be another negative number as the headline. That's because a lot of temporary government census workers went off the job rolls. There'll be some decent job gains at private companies, though, says Heidi Shierholz at the Economic Policy Institute.
We will likely add around 100,000 jobs in the private sector. The problem is, going forward, that's probably all we're going to get for maybe the next 9 months to a year. The private sector is going to keep chugging along, but that's nowhere near what we need to start digging us out of this.
And by this, Shierholz means the 8 million or so jobs that have been eliminated during the recession. And that huge jobs deficit is what's keeping the unemployment rate so high. Economists expect it to be up a bit to 9.6%. And now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Earlier this week, wheat prices rose on news of a heat wave and drought wiping out crops in Russia. It's one of the world's biggest bread baskets, and now Moscow's imposed a ban on wheat exports, sending prices, well, even higher. What does that mean for the price of food around the world? From London, Christopher Worth reports.
The price of wheat surged another 8% after the ban was announced, and that's raising fears that other grain-growing countries like China and India might begin hoarding their own supplies. That's what happened in 2008, and that sparked a global food crisis, complete with riots from Egypt to Haiti. But Martin Dabou of Investec says this year, global stockpiles are about 50% higher than they were a couple of years ago. Plus, farmers in the U.S. are growing a lot more wheat than was expected.
Traditionally, the U.S. has tended to be the sort of exporter of last resort, and I'm sure we'll take up some of the slack that's left by Russia. I think this is good news for American wheat farmers, both in terms they'll be selling a lot of volume and they'll be selling it at good prices.
And it's not just wheat growers that stand to benefit. Farmers don't like to feed their cows expensive food, so instead of buying wheat, they'll find cheaper alternatives. Witness economics in action. All that demand has driven up the price of soybeans and corn. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets worldwide are looking ahead to today's big employment report here in the United States. Not much movement for markets in Asia or Europe. European shares are slightly higher right now. Asian stocks closed mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, markets barely budged. The Dow only shed 5 points to close at 10,674.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Talks are continuing today between the Saudi Arabian government and Research in Motion. RIM, as it's known, is the company that makes popular BlackBerry cell phones. Now, the Saudis say RIM should open up its ultra-secure network so government officials can monitor communications as part of national security. Saudi Arabia has threatened to shut off one part of BlackBerry's data service. Other countries, including Lebanon, India, Algeria, and the United Arab Emirates, are also reportedly considering a shutdown of that particular data service. The BBC's Ben Thompson is with us live from Dubai right now. Hello, Ben.
Morning to you, Steve.
Now, I understand today was the deadline. Saudi Arabia threatened to shut off the service today. Any news?
Yeah, very conflicting reports coming from Saudi Arabia this morning. We had a very brief outage of the service on the two major telecoms networks in the country this morning. That's Saudi Telecom, the state-backed firm, and Mobily, its private rival. The services there, including email, messenger service, and web surfing, all went down this morning. But now we're getting some reports that those services are back up. So very few people knowing exactly what is going on. Some suggestions this morning that it may just be a big power play. This may be Saudi Arabia saying to RIM, look, we can and we will shut off the service if we need to, and this is us showing you that we can. So very interesting and but certainly confusing information coming out of the country this morning.
Sort of playing with the toggle switch there, if you will. Ben, tell us technically what BlackBerry is being asked to do.
Well, this dispute, as you said, involves a number of countries in this region. It centres on the encryption software that these phones use. Basically, the idea of them, of course, is that you can send messages and emails between the handsets without fear of those being intercepted or monitored by the government. Here in this region, over the past week, we've seen a number of governments here saying, well, that's simply not acceptable. It poses a threat to national security. They want the software, they want access to these servers so that they can, in their view, just keep an eye on this and maintain national security. RIM, for its part, it said, well, actually, we sell these products on the basis that they are secure, that they cannot be intercepted. And so it's their big selling point. So they're understandably reluctant to hand over that sort of information.
Quickly, Ben, we're also getting news that Algeria and Lebanon are threatening BlackBerry as well. RIM, why are all these Mideast countries doing this now?
Well, this all began on Sunday. Of course, a big statement that came out of the United Arab Emirates, where I am this morning, they said that they were unhappy with this, that they want this access. But it transpires that this has been a three-month debate. They gave RIM a three-month deadline to comply with them. But of course, this goes back 2 or 3 years, in fact. They've been trying to get access to this information. They say they need it, as I say, to maintain national security.
We're gonna
but the
have
problem
to, we're
is
gonna
that
wrap it
RIM
up there.
Simply isn't.
Ben Thompson with us from Dubai. Ben, thanks.
No problem.
All right. And finally, all the business news in 60 seconds. Here's Bill Radke.
Once again, the economy's aching while companies show us the money they're making. Kraft sold a lot of cheese nips and Chips Ahoy and Miracle Whips and Ritz and Kool-Aid and Shake and Bake and A1 sauce to put on your steak, while Procter & Gamble was head and shoulders above the rest, thanks to Crest and Pampers and Pringles and Bounty and Braun and Tide and Gillette and Downy and Dawn. Meanwhile, the rest of us suffer along, expecting bad news and hoping we're wrong. The employment report comes today, so we'll see. And I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. And you can follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis MMR. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.